The Vault of Secrets, Tommy Lee Jones, and Egg Noodles and Ketchup. You know that's right. It's season 4, episode 12 of this podcast and Psych, and it starts right about now.
I've heard it both ways.
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 Welcome back to I've Heard It Both Ways. I'm your friendly neighborhood backcracker, Dr. Joe, riding along in shotgun in the blueberry. Jesus Christ.
It's been 2 weeks.
It has. Riding along in shotgun the blueberry with me, as always, is the steamed hams to my Aurora Borealis. He is Billy Oil Can Russell. How's it going, buddy?
Wow. So if I could do the fryer here, because I know that's what Fryer does after Wes gives him one of the my to my. It's like, pretty good. You know, I don't know. I'm surprised you went there, actually. I'm surprised you gave me that one. All right. Okay. I get it.
Oh, absolutely tremendous. I thought you'd appreciate that one, Billy.
That was great. That's one of my favorite one-off like segment in cartoon history.
I was like, should he be Aurora Borealis? And I'm the steamed ham, but you're the hunk. You got the hams. It felt better that way. You know,
it's a regional dialect.
How you doing, my friend?
Fantastic. And getting ready to talk about an episode I was surprised by.
Yeah, I would say that I didn't grade it terribly, but I didn't grade it. It didn't like really go up, but it was better than I remember. But there's still some things about this episode that just aren't my favorite. But with that, it was better than I realized. I think, you know, the story holds up. The plot was really good. There was a lot more humor in this than I remember. There just wasn't a ton of like real laugh out loud, good hearty chuckles in this episode.
Yeah, there was a lot of one liners, a lot of good Sean and Gus back and forth, a lot of good Lassie.
Yep.
dropping just random stuff. So it was a really strong episode. And I've watched it a few times, obviously. Solid. Very solid. Like, way, way, way better than I remembered it.
Yeah, 100%. I was ready when I went to rewatch this for the first time. I think I've watched it 3 times. And I was ready to, like, go, like, give it maybe the lowest of this season, like 6 or below. So I was pleasantly surprised with that. So before we dive any deeper, Oil Can, tell the people of our process.
Well, it starts with a holla. It ends with the creamsicle, and if there's any time in between, a little Thundercats.
Oh! So, yeah, definitely a bit better than we realized. There's a couple guest stars in this episode. One is like, he just always seems to play like a general thug or just kind of always a sus kind of character. But the big guest star, and he wasn't in it a ton, but I gave it to him because I just recognized him in more things, was Arnold Vosloo. He played mobster JT Waring. He was in The Mummy, the original Mummy franchise with Brendan Fraser. He was also the bad guy in one of the seasons of 24, season 3 or 4, I believe. So he's a good actor. Definitely someone like whose face you recognize, generally always playing a bad guy.
He's got
guy.
A very Billy Zane-y quality.
He sure does. He sure does. Zany, and that isn't even a real word. So case synopsis. Juliet hires Gus. She hires Gus to track down an old boyfriend, but Sean eventually finds out that he's in the witness protection program as the key witness to a huge murder case. So this is definitely what I really enjoyed about this episode. I really did enjoy the story and the plot. It was very, very believable. I think it holds up, and I think it was really well written. The things I dislike, I just dislike hard, and it has nothing to do with the actual episode per se, but it's...
Did you just say you dislike heart?
I don't know what I just said. It's been a long day, and I completely don't remember what I just said. I might have just had a stroke. No, I dislike them hard. Like,
oh.
Yeah,
oh,
there
oh.
we go.
Okay. I was like, you don't like the heart of this episode, and you don't like fun.
No. The heart of this episode is really what saved like is part of its saving grace.
It's
but it does, and a lot of that comes from Lassie. But the cold open, it stinks. I hate it. This is the cold open is why I dislike this episode. Why I've disliked this episode so much in the past.
It just feels like a different episode of TV. Not even like of Psych. It feels like it's like a Hallmark movie, which Juliet often stars in. That's right. What it has the feel of. And I think they kind of do it a little bit intentionally to show you this is going to be a very Juliet episode.
Yep.
And it's not good. The acting between the two of them is not the best we've seen in Psych history. I'll put that kindly. And it sets the story nice, though. It's the classic. They do it in all sorts of the movies. You know, probably the most famous one most people know is from Sex and the City, even though I haven't even seen it. I know, like, they meet on the bridge, like, whenever at a certain date.
Yeah, and I hate that trope.
It's a shitty trope, for sure. But it's a storytelling device, and thank God they've only used it once.
Yeah, and so that was the whole thing, because, like, the fucking nerd, you know, squid dumbass they got to play Juliet's love interest in this, he stinks. His acting stinks. His chemistry with all of the cast members stinks. He's
a big piece of toast.
You know, I'll take, was it Lindsay Lohan?
Hmm?
Lindsay Lohan, open-faced carrot towards her over this schmuck. He stinks. Worst person they've gotten. And so, like, but that's the thing. It's the lack of, it's,
and
it's
also hit. Scott Seaver. Isn't that the guy's name from fucking one of those, like, 80s sitcoms, like Scott Seaver. I think it's Seavers. Like Growing Pains.
It's the Seavers. I don't know if there was a Scott Seaver, but there's definitely. But anyways, like, you know, what doesn't work is his terrible acting and his poor chemistry and Juliet's overacting, you know, with the whole, you know, just pontificating and just describing him constantly as the perfect guy. And just like, I'm not a rom-com guy.
Hang on,
I'm
real quick.
Yeah.
I got to point this out. So Scott Coffer played Mike Seaver in Growing Pains.
Gotcha. Mike Seaver.
That's probably a nod and a wink to them.
Probably. Yeah, has to be, right? Who played Boner? He was in that show too, Growing Pains. But anyways.
Sorry, Aurelia.
No, it's okay. You know, his poor chemistry with her, it just didn't mesh. It didn't work. But like I said, as much as I dislike all of that, there's enough really good things in this episode to elevate it a bit and be like, okay, this episode isn't as bad as I always seem to make it out to be. You know, so we're flashback. Jules is visiting Squid in Los Angeles, and she wants to break it clean. And good for you, girl, right? Mm-hmm. Don't string this nerd along. Right? Yep. Just boom, break the wrists, walk away. But he's all fucking clingy, and I don't blame him. She's fucking gorgeous. And, you know, then they do this whole thing. Well, how about we 10 years, we meet here at the same exact time. Well, that's 10. That's too long. Why not make it 9? Well, how about 8? 7, right? It's 7. 7-minute abs. Not 6, not 7, right? And so they do that whole thing, and it fucking stinks. It's lame. I hated it. But we flash forward 7 years, and we get the cheesy rom-com music, but we get fucking Jules with that drip drip in that red dress just strutting down there, and then we get really kind of sad and pathetic Jules as she's waiting for this nerd who never shows up.
Yeah, and she also tries to play it off a little bit later, like, oh, I was just meeting up with him for coffee. And you can tell she's actually crushed. She calls, we can assume, Lassie on the phone, I guess, because she talks to him later about it. So, you know, he never shows. And then we cut back to the police station. So this has got to be the longest we've never seen Sean in an episode, probably ever.
Yeah. Or any sort of allusion to a crime or anything like that. Like, this is just, okay, it's a very Juliet episode. Where are we going with this, though? She's getting stood. Like, you kind of have the feel, okay, she's being stood up, but it's like very plausible. Like, oh, the fucking nerd just, you know, just didn't show up. He's a fucking coward.
We're at the 8-minute mark before Sean drops the bomb that, you know, he's dead.
Yeah. So, and that was a great, like, this. So everything after, like, the bus terminal stuff, like, this is where the episode then really picks up, because we get, you know, Jules, and she confides in Lassie, which we'll talk about in a bit, because that's one of my favorite, you know, that's one of my favorite moments of the episode, you know. And then, you know, Lassie kind of gives her a pep talk, and then she's like you said, playing it cool, right? Trying to pretend like, you know, it's no big deal. But then she starts looking him up in the
seconds later, which I loved.
It was in the, like, database.
That was a nice little playoff. Then the chief enters, says, you know, you can't do this, gives you the, you know, men often don't show up. And what are you gonna do?
Speaking from experience, Billy, or what?
Yeah, you know. And if it is, it's not for long. But either way, you know, she actually enlists the help of Gus to go and find Scott Seaver because, you know, she can't do it on her own and she doesn't want Sean involved because the whole won't they crap. Yeah. And which is good. It's funny. And then we get probably one of my favorite moments. I don't know if you know this, Juliet, but I'm known as the Vault of Secrets.
And I love this because the Vault of Secrets gets cracked within fucking minutes. Like, that's the best thing. Like, you know, Gus is playing it cool. They're back at the psych office. And Gus is like, it's the last place you should go, right? You want to go somewhere where Sean's not going to be. Just take your laptop to the library, right? Like, he's not But Sean's, and Gus is there, and he's like, and he's like, oh, you know, Juliet, just, you know, just ask me to look into something for her. No big deal. Missing person. You don't need to get yourself involved. Like, Sean's not going to get involved.
Yeah, instantly.
Yeah. And so... Sean, you know, Gus says, Sean, you'll never find out. And Sean fucking very easily finds out. We later find out that Henry actually very easily
found out. That's a great scene, too.
but so Sean, you know, Sean's like, all right, I got it. They show up at the police station, and Gus is like, well, listen, you know, let me be the one to break this, but that's not Sean's style. And he goes, I got good news, bad news for you. Right. And he's like, what? And so this is just that's one of the running themes or the gags I love in this episode is Sean constantly putting his foot in his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And so he looks at Jules and goes, yeah, you're missing person. Fucking dead.
Doornail.
Yeah. And, you know, she's distraught. And Gus is like, it was an old boyfriend. And Sean's like, why the fuck wouldn't you tell him? She says, that's why she didn't want you looking for him. And he goes, what could possibly be the good news? He's like, well, I think we have a case. The guy was murdered. And now, right, at this point, we're 10, 12,
that was technically the cold open because we hit the intro at that at like 9 minutes.
Yeah. So now, okay, we got a big fetchalupa of a case. And
double stuffed.
And so this is, so now we're starting to pick up steam here. And, you know, so we get back and we find out how Sean, you know, got the information. He asked Henry. Henry called his buddy out in Sacramento while Sean was, you know, eating munchos.
No, he was actually doing, he was on the missing persons website.
Oh, right.
But the band. That's a great line. I was on a missing persons website. The band. Like, great back and forth between him and Henry here. It's quick, but it's a nice little, that's probably the highlight of the comedy, even though there's like a ton of those scenes sprinkled in throughout. The jail scene's pretty good too. But yeah. We get a nice setup to, you know, what actually happened to Scott.
Yeah, and that's the thing with this episode, too, is I think most of the comedy comes in just quick one-liners and reference, a lot of references, you know, in this episode. But, you know, we're back, you know, we find out that they're at the psych office. It's like, you know, Sean goes, he's like, I was on one of the sites I probably shouldn't have, you know, been. And Gus is like, gosh, Sean. And he's like, you know, we find out Sean's got, you know, he stole the info to get onto like the Treasury Department's, you know, website. And he looked up Scott Seaver, which was an important little thing because it seemed, you know, to Sean, like, oh, he was just looking someone up. But in doing so, you know, that search pinged the federal marshal's office, which alerted Agent Wayne. And right away, you know, this guy's up to no. This episode had no bones, you know, who your suspect was because this guy was looking.
He was creepy. Yeah. He just looked creepy
right from the get go.
Couple of key things here. He stole Lars Ewing's
that's right.
password, which I love. And if you had gotten, you know, you can't get Lou Diamond Phillips to play Juliet's boyfriend, but if you had gotten somebody of that, like chops to play Scott Seaver in this, this episode would have taken it up a bit, another notch. And then, you know, you find out that this is from what Sean and Henry can gather, like a frame up job on the murder. Yeah. So they know something's up anyways. And now this guy's coming to town to kind of settle everything down.
Yeah. Cause the reason why Sean thinks they have a case is because him and Henry, when they were digging into it, they, you know, the car just randomly blew up, but the conditions, you know, at the time weren't, you know, there was just a lot of shady things about the case report that they dug up that just, you know, triggered red flags, you know, to both of them. And so now we're back at the station. Now we know, you know, more about Scott Seaver, and we learned that he was working as an appraiser for a company owned by a mobster named JT Waring. Mm-hmm. And who's JT Waring?
Yeah, he's the guy with the Billy Zanian qualities. He's a mobster.
Yeah, he also wrote all the Harry Potter books.
That's right.
That's J.K. Rowling. So the guys decide to maybe this Scott Seaver guy isn't quite the squid, you know, Jules made him out to. Maybe there's a darker side to him. Maybe that's why he didn't show up, because you know he's a shady son of a bitch. So they were trying to find a way. This was actually a great little scene too, where the three of them first confront Jules to try to interrogate her to get information from her. And Lassie just goes full Lassie on her, and she just fucking storms off. And then the little choke fight that Sean and Lassie have here is fucking hysterical.
Yeah, used on a lot of the opens. And then the way Sean gets all the info out while also trying to, you know, smoke out Gus and Lassie from the trees is hysterical.
This was great. So like Sean's like, let me fucking do this. So he just, you know, he catches up with Jules and he's talking to her and she's opening up. And again, she's just going on and on and on about how perfect this guy is. You know, he's like Zac Efron. He's a song and dance man. He's gorgeous. He's probably got a huge wang. It's unfair. Right. And she's just, bah, 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 bah. And so Sean's just trying to like get some information out of her. And we do get a little nugget here. She talks about this fucking squid's, you know, porcelain fucking Dumbo collection, you know, like, yeah, I've got fucking Legos and Funko Pops. I'm one to talk, but like Dumbo figurines.
We can't talk.
Well, we can. It's Dumbo figurines. There's a line there. There's a line, certain lines, except
for when he was a kid.
Yeah. Well, so, but he gave one to Juliet because it meant
broke up a rare set.
And it broke up a rare set. So that's a little nugget of information that Sean's using. But what's great here is that they're walking and Jules is saying something and he does one of those, oh, get out of here. Like
you and like, your black friend in the bushes.
And then like you see Lassie and Gus stick their head out of the trees. And he just goes, you and your black friend. That line fucking kills me every time. Mm-hmm. Just the way he delivers it and the look on that. And then he fucking hums a rock at him. Mm-hmm. Absolutely fantastic. But it's that bit about the Dumbo that Sean actually took away from that. So he's, you know, this is some good detective work on Sean's part, because right, he's like, well, let's look on eBay. Let's see if there's someone. This seems a little far fetched, but he's like, it's good reasoning. Let's go on eBay, see if anyone's selling these collections. Maybe it will lead us to the person that may have killed Scott.
And they kind of skip that. They kind of just show up at the door of a house. And Gus is like, what are we doing here? He's like, well, actually, I found out that somebody is selling, you know, that Dumbo collection minus the one piece that was given to Juliet. And we're at his house.
Yep.
And Sean thinks that it's potentially the killer who killed him, took all of his stuff, and now is trying to sell off some of the things. And they think that they're opening the door to a killer. You get that great scream between the two of them as they open the door. And then you find out, whim, bam, boom, Scott's alive.
Yeah, which was a great reveal. But you were right. The stuff leading up to this between talking to Jules and that was probably the laziest writing we will ever get on Psych. Right? It's convenient. It's quick. It's you know what I mean? Like, and it's not like it was like, oh, that was really like. But they usually
it's
don't
an
do
easy
that.
Detective work though when you think about it, because Sean.
Yeah, but they usually don't skip those steps, right? Yeah. They usually, you know what I mean? Like it was a little quick, it was a little convenient. It just seemed like a little okay. It's fine. That's not my biggest. That wasn't even close to being a real gripe for me on this. But the big thing here, the reveal, is that Scott Seaver, you know, is alive, and that's huge. So they bring him back to the police station to surprise Jules. And what do we find out about Mr. Seaver, Billy?
Well, good news, bad news. There is no bad news. And then, bam, the detective shows up and says that he was a witness to a murder and he's been in witness protection.
Yeah. And Sean and Gus just outed him. And now his life might be in danger.
It is in danger, but not for the reasons. Well, probably both reasons, because we find out that, you know, the guy inside the prison is extremely well connected, and that comes later, though. But It's dispelled by also the agent working the case that at any moment he could go down because, you know, he put behind bars one of the biggest mobsters in the area.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the guy that Scott Seaver was working for. Unbeknownst to him, he didn't know he was working for a mobster. He was an appraiser. He was appraising things for a company, a shell company, you know, that this mobster owned. And so he was witness to the murder of a federal agent. So that's why, you know, he was in witness protection program. And now that he's out and he's seen Jules looking smoking hot, he's like, are you fucking going back to that?
I wouldn't.
Yeah, no, we're going to dance. Right. And they go back to Jules's house. He thinks they're on a date, you know, and he's such a fucking nerd. He's going through. He's like, look at all these spices in your spice rack. You've never opened. What the fuck? And he didn't.
You even really hate this guy.
I do. He's a fucking nerd. And he didn't even get the Goodfellas reference when she asked him. He's in witness protection program. And she says to him, have you ever ordered spaghetti marinara and you ended up getting egg noodles and ketchup?
Pick out the pot, by the way. Really up. I won't be able to ever say it normally again because a Boston sports radio person pronounced him in the eulogy as a Ray Licata.
Ray Licata. His face looked like a worn, weathered squash.
Oh, my God. I actually recently rewatched Goodfellas. What a film.
Yeah, I got to rewatch that. That is an all-timer. Yeah. So good. Oh, so
but
good.
It's a great reference for Jules to give. And it, like, to me, that's enough to be like, all right, fuck this guy.
Yeah, right there. Get this squid out of here. So, you know, they're sitting there, and then all of a sudden, there's a bit of a commotion outside. Jules draws her gun. He realizes, what, this isn't a fucking date? No shit, Sherlock. We're trying to fucking protect you. And so we have what we think is an attempt on Scott's life. And so Sean is trying to rectify past mistakes of sticking said foot in his mouth and really fucking shit up. And I don't really give him a hard time for this. Like, I don't think, like, everyone's like all mad at him, but he's like, he's just, you know,
he didn't do anything wrong. It's just a confluence of circumstances. Like, yeah, if Gus had just told him, like, he approached that case the way he approaches every case. Yep. Dead doornail.
Yeah. Right.
He had no idea.
So Sean decides to go to the jail where mobster JT Waring is being held, and he tries to rectify his mistake. And I love this. This is the first bit that I love from the scene. You know, he gives his name. He goes, this is my associate, Burton Guster. And Guster goes, now you use my real name. Right. And so they're talking, and Sean inadvertently lets Waring know that Seaver is out of witness protection.
Yeah. You knew Sean, that? No, you just confirmed it.
Yeah. And the look on fucking Sean's face was absolutely priceless. But this is some of Sean at his best, because he does this with Despero, where, like, you know, the person's a villain, but Sean's like all in on him.
Yeah.
Right. And he's like, I believe him. Right. Waring's telling his story. Right. He's like, I've done many bad things. You know, I deserve to be in prison, but not in prison for murder. Right. I didn't kill that guy. He was dead when I got in there. I've been framed. So Sean's like pleading with him, like, could you just, like, maybe not kill this one guy? And he's like, I'll make a deal with you. You prove my innocence and I'll call off the hounds. And Sean puts his hand. I love that. He puts his hand on the glass. And so does the mobster. And Gus is just like, what the fuck did you just agree to?
Another great bit where they think the phones turn off and he goes,
yeah,
the phones don't turn off.
Yeah. And this is where, and a big part of why Sean is so enamored with him is his Billy Zanian like looks. You know, he does look a lot like Billy Zane.
When I watched this the first time last week, and I was like, is that fucking Billy Zane? Did they get him twice?
So we're getting some good investigating now. Sean, Gus, and Scott, nerd, go to the warehouse to try and maybe find some clues that might have been missed. And there was another great bit of comedy here where, you know, Sean's always trying to get Gus to, you know, reenact,
be the body.
To be the body. Gus always refuses. He's like, no, I can't. This is a $200 shirt.
He goes, you paid $18 for that shirt.
List price, Sean. List price.
You can't quote list price.
Yeah.
Love it.
and then Gus is like, but that's blood on the ground. He goes, no, that's
crime scene oil. Whose dad was a cop? Okay.
Yeah. They haven't used it since the 80s. And then the fucking nerd comes in and goes, why are you laying down the blood?
And
Gus pops right up. But this was a cool little scene because Sean had Gus lay down on the floor to match the bloodstain pattern. Mm-hmm. And Scott goes, no, you're wrong. He was laying the other way. Mm-hmm. And so that starts setting off some red flags. Like, okay, maybe this scene was staged. And so Sean's trying to, okay, well, if he was laying this way, where the fuck was he shot from? You know, and why didn't they ever find the bullet? That was the other thing. It's like a big, big clue that was never found that would have confirmed. And the shots get, you know, he's looking around and he's like, wait a second. If he was standing here and he was shot, that means the bullet would have gone through this window out, and he looks out, and in the tree in the distance, he sees something. And I go, well, that's actually pretty good. So Sean's, we get some good comedy here, right? Sean's got the binoculars on backwards. Right?
That makes a huge difference.
Yeah. And then, you know, he's like, well, no, the one time he reads an autopsy report, he goes, the bullet went through and through at the same level, which means it should be here. And they're like, hey, dipshit, trees grow.
Look, yeah, up. Great detective work.
Yeah, and, you know, by Gus. And so he looks up. There's the fucking, there, you know, he sees something. So he climbs that tree like fucking Newman going after that fucking fur coat.
Yeah, right in the tree.
And he gets up there. He sees a bullet, you know, in the tree. And then all of a sudden they get shot at and they've got to fucking hightail it out of there.
Yeah, because like you don't know yet that the villain is the guy who's in witness protection. So then they head back to the station, and now Scott, being the beta that he is all scared, and he is going to go back into witness protection. And then Chief Vic, who's actually in this episode more than most episodes recently, is going to give them a written warning of some kind, I guess. Yeah. And Sean kind of flips out, and he's able to put two and two together that it's not, you know, it's definitely not wearing, and it's actually probably what's his face, the detective, because it was his partner who was shot.
Yeah, because when they're getting formally reprimanded, you know, Sean's like, what's up this guy's ass? Why is he? And that's when Chief Vic goes, well, it was his partner that was killed that day. Gus goes, wow, you can't get out of your own way today, kid. You might as well just stop and go home. And that's when the epiphany hits Sean, and he looks out, and there's fucking Agent Wayne, you know, putting, you know, soy boy cuck beta, you know, into the back of his car. And there was a great line here too. When Vic is giving them their fucking written reprimands and she's listing off all the things, and Sean goes, these are crimes. What is this, North Korea? You know, like just a great delivery there. But fun fact, oil can.
Yeah.
This is one of the rare episodes in which we see Sean ride his motorcycle.
It's true. I only thought it happened like three times. So we get this episode, and we get it in the episode previously, I think, Three Seekers and Hellraisers.
Yes, you're right. Yep. And then early on, right? So yeah, mm-hmm. Very rare. But he
I think we're at three.
And he rides that sumbitch like you read about. Mm-hmm. And so he catches up, you know, to Agent Wayne. Good little chase scene here. And here we go. We get the big reveal. So as you just mentioned, right, the Who is Agent Wayne.
Yep.
You know, and it's essentially, you know, wrong place at the wrong time. Mm-hmm. And you know, with the why being that Wayne was attempting to take out Waring, but he shot at the wrong person. He mistook his partner for Waring, shot him, and being the fucking coward that he is, right, instead of owning up to, you know, his fuck up, you know, he takes off. Waring comes in, here's the commotion. He sees, you know, the dead body on the ground. You know, that's when Seaver walks in. Everyone scatters. Wayne comes back in, stages the body to make it, you know, to make it look like Waring did it, because the last known person to see, you know, was Seaver. He saw the dude's partner dead, and he saw Waring. Boom. It was like it lined up perfectly for him. And so now he's got to either get Seaver back into witness protection or kill him. And when Sean confronts him, he's like, well, now I got to fucking kill both of you. And I will say the soy boy does come to the rescue here.
He does. It's a pretty good little fight scene, too. I like the mano a mano thing. Smacks the gun. Sean gets his ass kicked long enough for Scott to recover from the sucker punch. And then he hits him with a pipe, and it's even better at the end where he's like, I gave him the mono a mono and then I knocked him out. I thought Scott knocked him out. I've heard it both ways.
One of the better I've heard it both ways. Because we saw that in There's Something About Mira, right? Where so this is a good even little
Thrill Seekers and Hellraiser.
Yeah, scene. Right.
And then in the what is it, the old men one? You think we'll still knock dudes out in our 60s? We can't knock dudes out now. What's that episode called? Why do I always forget it?
Viagra Falls.
There it is.
Yeah. So that was the case. And like I said, I thought, you know, start to finish, it was well written. I thought it holds up. I thought it was a good story. Definitely like kept you guessing because I mean on rewatch it's obviously apparent, but like still like. You get the sense like this guy is pretty suspect right from the get-go, but how is it all going to come together? And I liked the little fight scene, like you said there at the end, it was great. So memorable moments. You want to start us off there, William?
Yeah. The back and forth with Lassie throughout the episode was great. Loved the Grease reference.
Yes.
He was charming. He was funny. Really showed the range and depth that Lassie has as a character. And even when he goes, you know, I'm not often a confidant. And it's like, oh, that's fucking true. Also, I love the fact that he made out with the biscuit lady.
Yeah.
That fucking killed me.
Well, that scene, man, like that, you know, so that's another one of my favorite scenes. So like they're in Chief Vic's office, right? And, you know, I think it was Gus like, are we supposed to be in here? And, you know, Lassie's like, you kidding me? I own this place. And then at first you think it's Chief Vic walking and that's why you're walking by and that's why they all get down. But then you just see a woman, you know, the biscuit lady pushing the cart with food on it and they pop up and Gus is like, what the hell? He goes, that was the biscuit lady. What? I owe her 80 cents. Oh, and then we kind of made out at the company picnic. And then she comes back around and this time fucking Lassie hits the deck again and he pops up and Gus just goes, dude, that must have been one crazy picnic.
Oh, unbelievable. Oh, and then you wrote this down too. It's one of my favorite. Wait, are we still on Greece? And we never left. We never weren't.
Yeah.
Fucking brilliant delivery.
It was fantastic. Like, you know, and then one of his quotes, he goes, you know, I mean this from the bottom of my heart. All romance ends in despair. Sometimes death, but mostly despair. Gut-wrenching despair. Because, you know, most people are just out there to destroy any chance of happiness you'll ever have. I feel a hug coming on. Yep. Right? Like, it was that kind of stuff. And then he gives Jules his blessing to consummate the relationship. You know,
after a blood test.
Yeah. So, like, I don't know. That, like, Lassie was awesome in this episode. He wasn't in it a ton, but like for me, he provided a lot of the comedic relief, some of the more memorable moments for me. We already sort of talked about Sean just kind of constantly, you know, putting his foot in his mouth. But again, that visual of Sean and Lassie just choking the shit out of each other was absolutely hysterical.
Yeah, that's another great scene. There was a lot of good scenes in this, a lot of good comedy, but nothing that would like crescendoed into anything amazing, I guess. A good case. So way better than I thought. There was only a couple of least memorable moments here.
Yeah, cold open and end scene, because it both involved that fucking squid and they were both lame as hell. How about we meet back here in 3 years? We never fucking see the guy again because fucking Jules comes to her senses and realizes.
I feel like you're Henry right now. I'm glad we brought you on to hear you say squid as many times.
Fucking broads. what does Henry say? I think I've got it here in the quotes where he says, bonus for using the word jackass in yet another sentence unironically.
Yep.
Right. So that was sort of my least favorite moments. Did you have any, Billy?
No, I'm with you on the open and end there, but just because it's a different show. But I think it was done slightly intentional with the title of the show. So
yeah,
as to be expected.
Yeah, they're going for the rom-com. That's just, I'm not a big, outside of like Love Actually, I'm not a big rom-com guy. Never have been. Just not my, it's not my cup of tea. I know.
Yeah, well, Jeffrey, the most recent rom-coms are more rom than com.
Right, right. And I know Jeffrey McNamara is a huge rom-com guy, but, you know, I'm sure he'll give you a six pack.
When it's done right, like Forgetting Sarah Marshall, like that's a rom-com, but it has.
Yeah, I guess it is. But that movie is freaking hilarious. And I guess you're right. I would just always consider that more comedy anyways. You know, when I think of rom-com, I think of like 37 Dresses and, you know, that bullshit.
Well, that's basically just romantic movie.
Right.
You with know, like whatever. Two jokes in it.
Yeah, right. So anyways, Billy, who's your favorite character?
You know what? I am not going to steal your thunder here. I'm going to go Sean, but I could put your guy right behind him. But Sean was classic Sean in this one. Just absolutely, you know, putting his foot in his mouth, making some great references. The missing persons one fucking killed me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was. Yeah, he was great. And I was initially going to put Sean as well. But it, for me, it had more I thought about. It had to be Lassie. It was like,
yeah.
Again, it was just a great episode for him. And he provided some of the better comic relief moments, and just, but it was him and Jules in a couple of those scenes, just the, you know, his delivery, and it's just so awkward, in classic Lassie fashion.
And he almost did no police work in the whole episode.
Oh yeah. Just about none. He was a good, he did a really good job in this one. So a couple of quotes here that we didn't mention earlier. Oh, this is the one I meant to.
Oh my God.
Remember. When they're first in the psych office and Sean goes to Gus, he goes, I managed to get onto a website I shouldn't have been on. And Gus's response here is fucking perfect. He goes, please tell me you haven't gone all Pete Townsend on me.
Jesus.
For you young whippersnappers out there, Pete Townsend is the guitarist for The Who. You know, a great rock band from the 60s and 70s. One of the great guitarists. But Pete Townsend, some of his music has had some questionable, you know, themes about it. And he had his computer seized, you know, a decade or so ago for some improper searches. He said he was because he was writing a book because he was, you know, assaulted when he was a kid. That's his story. But that's where that line comes from. And that just the way Gus delivered that, I was like, oh, they fucking went there. Oh, that was a perfect delivery.
Mm-hmm.
This was another great one when someone says, what's racketeering?
And, no one knows.
And even less, he goes, nobody knows. I said the jackass one. When they're in the jail cell. And fucking Gus starts talking with an English accent. And Gus goes, why are you speaking with an English accent?
Speaking his language.
His language is English, Sean. You know, like, it was just fucking perfect. Sean with the open-handed slap. And he just responds, I'm not proud of that. Yeah. And then, during the fight scene, when he does that thing where he's on his back. And he goes, dude, did you just see what I just did?
Yeah, phenomenal.
Yeah, absolutely. So like I said, there were some good quotes there, like some good solid one-liners, but like, you know, I think overall it was good, not great.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a little bit better than good just because there were so many good scenes. There was so much good acting minus, you know, pale face there. He's just Squidward. Like a wet sack of meat. Like he was just a big gallon of milk. Yeah. he did stink. But overall, very enjoyable. For the creamsicle, not a ton. No pineapple. No descriptions of Lassie. We got a good Gus don't be the and wait for it.
Yeah, which I thought was great. You know, Gus's nickname is just his name, but it was used perfectly. Mm-hmm. Like, you know. We've already said that I've heard it both ways, you know. I thought Scott did. I've heard it both ways. Not a lot of world play.
No.
Henry, father of the moment, was him looking up the info while Sean was eating munchos. But if you want to list off the list of references here, Billy, we actually got a ton.
Yeah, a lot of good ones here. The Matrix, Grease, and the one where, you know, where Kinnicky was waiting for Zuko or whatever the actual was, like. And she's like, that was spot on, shocking precision. What? Yeah. I can't like movies too. Billy Zane, Simon Baker, great little mentalist digs. You know, at least we got that going for us. So he doesn't do the point and stare.
Yeah.
Pete Townsend, we already covered. J.K. Rowling, we already covered. Goodfellas. What was the Conan O'Brien one?
What was the Conan O'Brien? Oh, fuck. They were in the police station. And he was. It's like, was it on during Conan?
Yeah.
And then we get the fugitive, reference there when he's quoting Tommy Lee Jones. So this was one of the more where they just like, you know, popping out those obscure references there.
Well, and there are obscure references, but they're also well written into the show.
Yes.
Like
yes.
they are, they're not just like a Family Guy cutaway where like, right. remember the time? It's no, he was like looking on the computer on a website he wasn't supposed to. Boom, 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 the Who. So yes. it's very like,
they connect their dots with their references yes. very well. They're mm-hmm. obscure and like where Sean just sort of pulls them from, but they always fit what he's using them
for. Oh, yeah.
Pineapples, William.
I think we're the same here. It was a 6.5.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I've had a lot of episodes this season in that 6.8, 6.9, nice range. A couple of sevens we've had. Yeah, but, like, this is okay. So, it's, like, the next tier down now. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not in that meaty part of the curve. It's sort of towards that back end of the outlier there, but not terrible.
No.
You know, like I said, I was prepared to go six or below, and then upon rewatching, I go, oh, there's more than enough here that makes me want to bump this up, but I'm not going to put it in some of those episodes from earlier on in the season that you were a lot more fun, that had a little bit more comedy, a little more substance to them.
Well, now we get into the absolute like murderer's row of season four here.
Oh man, I can't wait. Cause we get,
I'll just do it out to the end here if you want.
Yeah.
All right. No. We got to do the come on, son.
Come on, son.
Come on, Billy. Come on, son. Come on, oil can. Get out of here with that mess. Get out of here with that bull.
So next week we have season 4, episode 13. This begins the murderer's row. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're ending with a fucking bang here. Death is in the air.
Love this episode.
Which is dealing with a possible pandemic. And so, yeah, too soon, maybe. But this was written over a decade ago. But this is such a great episode.
Oh, phenomenal. I love this episode. A lot of good stuff. Even the guy that they get to play the nervous guy. He's not in a bunch of stuff, but he plays a great nervous guy.
He plays a tremendous gullible nervous guy. Mm-hmm. You know, he keeps falling for hookers that steal his watch mm-hmm. and shit. And I love this, the running gag of fucking Sean wearing Gus's Chargers sweatshirt, and it just constantly smells like corn nuts.
Yep.
You know, so that's a great one. And then what do we have following that, William?
All right. So then we have Think Tank, one of my all-time
favorites. Oh, great one.
You know what? And then the head, the tail, and the whole damn episode, which is even better than I think the previous two episodes. That might be the best one of the season for me.
That's a banger.
Mr. Best one Sense is good.
Yeah, the finale is the cream of the crop of the episode. Because that might be my favorite of the trilogy, right?
Really? Now
it might be. I have a movie in now. Well, I'm just counting the three season finales. Love the first one. The third one isn't my favorite.
I love it.
And I haven't. That's the one I've watched the least. It's still really, really good. But I love the second one. Because I think that's when we get a lot of the Hitchcock stuff, right? Yeah. And then what that does is that it really catapults into season 5 and that whole story arc and where we go from there. So is it Rossi who likes the second movie in a trilogy the most?
Hates the second movie in a
trilogy. Okay. So I feel better about enjoying this one. Just no, kidding, Rossi. We love you. So Billy, where can the people find us?
They can find us just about anywhere. You can check Facebook, I think, for probably the best resource to get all of us in the Dorkshire universe. That is Mac and Goo. That is Dork. That is PCP. That is Change My Mind. That is TLDR. Then we have all of the streamers. We have yourself, who's going to be streaming momentarily, some Madden. That is Back Cracker. Then we have Dork. They stream on YouTube. And, of course, Shime Time. He's also over on Twitch.
Yeah. So, Billy, until next week, my friend, wait for it.
Frank says hi.